coming to you from a somewhat stormy Johannesburg today. I'm hoping you don't pick up on the thunder and lightning that's taking place outside right now. But as they say in the classics, the show must go on. And I want to get this podcast out to you as soon as I possibly can. We're into episode 13 of Trail Talk SA. My name is Brad Brown. I'm your host. And this week, we chatted quite a bit about it last week, actually, the Kalahari Ochrabi's Extreme Marathon. We had Daniel Rowland on the show last week on episode 12, just in the build-up to the race. And you know what? I actually joked with Daniel that he's starting to get onto the show more than I am, actually. And we've got him on again this week. And the reason we've got him on again this week is because he has won the KAEM for 2013. Not only just won it, but smashed the record as well. So I had a pretty quick chat with Daniel earlier today. And before he heads back to Santiago in Chile, I thought I'd share that with you as well. On the show this week, too, I did an interview. Actually, it was in the build-up to that race with a gentleman called Edward Chapman from the UK, who has completed six of those crazy races, and he was aiming to become the first person to complete seven. I didn't manage to use it on last week's show, so I thought I'd include it for you this week. Even though it was recorded before the race, I think it is still relevant, and I can tell you that Edward has completed the race. He finished 50th overall, so he has become the first person to run the Kalahari Ochrabi's Extreme Marathon seven times. That's an amazing, amazing achievement. And then we also take a look at trail running in Mpumalanga. I caught up with Clive Smart from Ilunga Trails. They're doing some cool things out there in the northeast of South Africa. They've also got some interesting trail safaris that I chatted to Clive about. That's all coming up on this week's show as well. As always, I love hearing from you. So if you have any comments or suggestions, or perhaps you'd like to be in touch, you can pop me an email, okay? Our email address is podcast@trailtalksa.co.za. It's that easy to get in touch via email. You can also tweet us at @trailtalksa. Or if you'd like, you can be in touch on Facebook. Just search for us as well. You can be in touch that way. And if I could ask you a huge favor, if you listen to this podcast through the platform of iTunes or through Apple, I would just appreciate it if you wouldn't mind just taking a couple of seconds and just leaving us a star rating. And if you would be so kind, leave us a review as well. And what that does is obviously the more of those reviews and ratings we get, the better it is for the show, because we get ranked higher in iTunes, which means more people can find the show and we can share our love of trail running with those people too. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, I would appreciate it hugely. And I'll make you a deal. If you leave us a review, I'll read it out on next week's show here on Trail Talk SA. So be in touch. Go to iTunes. Just leave a review. And yeah, who knows? Your name could be on lights, in lights, on next week's episode of Trail Talk SA. Without further ado, let's get straight into this week's show. And we kick things off once again this week with Daniel Rowland, the 2013 champion of the Kalahari Ochrabi's Extreme Marathon. Well, we chatted to him just a while ago here on Trail Talk SA, and we were chatting about the Kalahari Ochrabi's Extreme Marathon that was taking place last week, or the whole of last week, down in the Northern Cape, and brilliant to have him back on the show. Daniel Rowland, I'm pleased to say that you are the 2013 champion. Well done, mate. You must be over the moon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Brad. I had a fantastic time and a really great performance in the race, so as you said, I'm over the moon and delighted with the results.
Daniel, I've chatted to you twice in the build-up to the race, once from Chile and once just when you had landed back in SA ahead of the race. And you were saying you had done a whole bunch of prep in the mountains and in the Atacama Desert, sort of just really working towards this race in particular. And it seems like everything just sort of panned out exactly the way you had planned it.
Yeah, it sure did. All the training blocks and the specific work that I'd done in the desert and in the heat really helped. It wasn't that hard to race, but I wasn't too worried about the heat. And the Atacama salt flats really helped prepare me quite well for the sand that we faced in Ochrabi's, which was one of the toughest sections of the race. So I'm really pleased with how it all came together and that the specific work that I'd done paid off in the race.
Not only did you win, but you smashed the record as well.
Yeah, I didn't even know that until the prize giving on Saturday. And every year the route is different, so they just give you a record based on your average speed. And it seemed that I'd done the fastest average speed over the the course this year. So I was really pleased with that.
Daniel, talk us through the race a little bit for people who have never done it and have maybe heard of it but don't know too much about it. Tell us a little bit about the stages and what you can expect and possibly if someone's thinking of doing it next year, what to look out for.
Yeah, okay. So it's a six-stage race. The first three stages are relatively shorter. It was a 26-kilometer day on day one, 33 kilometers on day two, 39 kilometers on day three, and then they have the long stage, which is on day four. And if you take a little bit longer to do that, you have a second day to do that. So day four is 75 Ks. Fortunately for me, I managed to finish during day four, so I had day five as a rest day. And then day six, which is stage five, is 45 Ks. And then the final stage is 26 kilometers. So it's six stages over 7 days. For a rough total of about 250 kilometers, and it's in an absolutely beautiful area of South Africa in the Ochrabies National Park. I was very fortunate to see Hemsbok, Eland, Klipspringer, a lot of giraffe, and just plenty of game while I was out there. So it's a beautiful place and a wonderful race. The whole race is self-supported, so you have to carry your food and sleeping bag and other gear. But the race organization provides water, and they also put up tents for us to sleep in each night.
I really dig the fact that even though you were racing it and racing it hard, you managed to take in a bit of the sights and sounds, and you were game spotting on the way. I love that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was beautiful. I saw so much more game than I expected, and I never really expected to be running through a national park and seeing game like that. So it was quite a surprise and truly a wonderful race.
Yeah, that's the thing. Danny, you're up front, so I mean, you don't chase them away. It's the guys at the back like me that don't see anything because you guys have chased all the animals away up front.
Well, that might be partially true, but Ochrabies has a wonderful system where they do staggered starts. So only on the very first day of the race do we all start together. And then from then, there's staggered starts from between 8 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the morning, with the slowest runners going off first. And on the long stage, that 75-kilometer stage, some of the slower runners started at 6 o'clock and the fastest runners started at 1 o'clock. So throughout the day, it's really a fantastic way of setting it up because the slower runners get to see some of the faster runners coming through. But as faster runners, we manage to chat and see some of the slower runners that we wouldn't otherwise see during the race. So it's a really great system.
That is pretty cool. I actually like that a lot. And you talk about some of those other runners that you managed to chat. Your brother and your dad were running this weekend as well. How did they go?
Yep, they went very well. My dad came in 20th place and had a few highs and lows as you do in ultras. But he managed to get through the race and had a really good time. And my brother started off very well, but he had some niggling ITB issues that flared up on the third stage. And he ended up walking quite a lot of the last few stages. So he was a little bit disappointed. But with the staggered start on the very last day, he set off in one of the earliest batches. And almost by coincidence, we both arrived at the finish line together. So that was something really special for us to finish together in a race, even though our total times were very different. We managed to cross the finish line together. So that was fantastic.
Bro, that sounds like an amazing experience. You're heading back to South America, back to Santiago. What's next on the cards for Daniel Rowland?
Yep. I have about 3 months now, and I'm building up to do the Racing the Planet Sahara race, which is going to be held in Jordan towards the end of February next year. So a little bit of time to prepare for that and get ready for some more sand and desert running.
I wanted to ask you, how long does it take you to sort of recover from something that you've just been through like this one now?
I'm hoping to take about 2 weeks because I need to have quite a good turnaround for the next race, which is quite soon. As I said, it's in February. So I need to have a quick turnover now, about 2 weeks, and then hopefully I'll be able to start building up and doing the work necessary to be ready in February. However, after the Atacama this year, it took me almost a month and a half to recover fully and get back to the same sort of speed and endurance that I'd had during the race.
Okay.
Well, so I'm hoping that I'm a better athlete now and can recover a little bit faster.
Yeah. Daniel, it was awesome chatting again. Have a safe trip back home, and we'll definitely stay in touch and would love to touch base again before that Racing the Planet. And it'll be cool to chat to you after that one too and hopefully as the champion as well. That'll be cool.
That'd be fantastic. I really enjoy being on your program. Becoming a bit of a regular. Thanks, Brad.
You're on it more often than I am, almost.
That's great. Thank you.
Awesome, Daniel. Safe travels, mate. Bye. As I mentioned in the intro to this week's show, chatting to Edward Chapman, who has returned to South Africa for his sixth Kalahari Ohrabis Extreme Marathon. Edward, welcome back to South African shores. Thank you for coming. And I have to ask, what keeps you coming back?
I just love South Africa. I come every year because the people are just so friendly, so much into the outdoor life, very welcoming. And I just love the Kalahari.
Edward, you say you come back every year. You've done this thing a few times. This is number what for you now?
This will be number seven. If I finish this year, I'll be the only person to have done seven.
That is phenomenal. I mean, this race is seriously, seriously hard. And I can imagine for someone from the UK who's coming from summer now, but your summers are, I mean, if you take the desert and the Kalahari, it's nowhere close to what you're going to be experiencing over the next 7 days. It must be really difficult to train for this thing and get yourself physically ready as far as the temperature and heat goes.
It's very difficult. When I left, it was 14 degrees. But what I do is I drive around in my car with the heater on full blast. So even in the summer, I've got the heater on to try and acclimatize.
Wow. And Edward, tell me, I mean, you've done this thing six times now. This is your seventh go at it. Is it better knowing what to expect or not knowing what to expect?
The second time was the hardest because you knew exactly what you're in for, but you also know you've done it before, so you've got no excuse to give up. So I think sometimes not knowing what you're in for is the best thing.
Edward, tell us a little bit about the race itself. I mean, you say if you complete this one, you'll be the first person to have completed seven, so you probably know the route and the course better than most. The 7 days, tell me how they're broken up.
The first day is normally quite a short day, maybe sort of 25K, and then the rest of the days are roughly a marathon distance. You have one day that's over marathon, and then you get one rest day in the middle. And every day is different because the terrain's always different. Sometimes there'll be sandy riverbeds, sometimes it'll be hard rock, sometimes it'll be flat, sometimes it'll be very hilly. So every day is different, which is lovely.
How do you prepare yourself for something like this? Just as far as training goes, I mean, you mentioned acclimatizing to the heat, but it's 250 kilometers over 7 days. From a training perspective, what do you need to do to complete one of these?
Really, all you've got to do is something similar to Comrades training, but get used to running hard on consecutive days. So go out on a Saturday and run a marathon and go out on Sunday and run a marathon.
Yeah, so it's basically, you know, just the consecutive and getting almost used to running on tired legs?
That's exactly it. And also getting used to running with a pack on, because the pack's going to weigh about 10 kilograms. So you've got to get used to running in that. And I tend to train with one heavier because 10 kilograms in the Kalahari is not the same as 10 kilograms back home on the pavement.
I'm sure. And tell us, you talk about that pack and you carrying your own sort of stuff. Can you tell us what's in your pack, what you need to carry for the entire race?
The equipment you need is very minimal because you just need a sleeping mat and a sleeping bag. But you need to carry your food, and getting the food right is the hard part. And I tend to sort of have instant oats for breakfast, and then something like noodles for my evening meal, and then snack on bits and pieces during the day.
And I'm just amazed that it's totally self-supported. I mean, you've got to pretty much carry everything except, I mean, you, in the end of the day, you do carry your water, but you allowed an allowance of 1.5 liters at every 10 kilometers. But everything else, you've got to pretty much take care of.
Yeah, and the rules say if you didn't carry it, you can't use it. So whatever you need for the whole week, you've got to have with you.
That's amazing. And as far as clothes go, I mean, do you take a change of clothes or is it same gear for the week?
I take a change of socks. I have a fresh pair of socks every day because blisters are a big problem. But I wear the same shorts, the same shirt. You tend to smell of it, but everyone else is in the same situation.
I was going to say, you're not the only one smelling out there in the desert, I'm sure.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
Edward, it sounds amazing. I want to wish you all the best on your journey, and I'm sure having completed six of these things, number seven, you know what it takes, and you'll definitely get it done. And yeah, all the best. I hope it's as pleasant as it can be.
Thanks very much.
Trail Talk SA, we've been chatting about some of the big races over the last few weeks here on Trail Talk SA, the Otter African Trail Run. We featured the Kalahari Ohrabi's Extreme Marathon again this week as well with Daniel Rowland. But there are a whole bunch of other races that take place around the country almost every single weekend. And there's quite a bit happening in Mpumalanga out in the northeast of the country. And I got an email a couple of weeks ago from Clive Smart. And I thought, you know what, I need to find out more about what Clive is up to. Clive, welcome onto the show. Thanks for chatting to us today.
Hi, Brad, and hi to all your listeners.
Clive, I'm fascinated. I mean, Mpumalanga is probably one of the, I don't want to say forgotten gems, but a lot of people discount it and don't realize how beautiful it is as a province. And there's some great trails out in that part of the world, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely. We are the head of the Drakensberg, so we've got the whole Drakensberg range, obviously not as high as down the Tailway, but we go up to 2,000 meters. So we've got altitude. We've also can run right down at 500 meters. So we've got quite a variety, and we can also run up and down, give the guys a lot of hills.
Which is scary at the best of times.
Yeah, let me tell you, a little hill at 2,000 meters is quite a big hill.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're looking for bash.
Exactly. Clive, tell me a little bit about the company that you run. Is it Ilunga Trails?
Yeah, Ilunga Trails started last year. We started in... in February, I got the idea, and we've had a number. Debbie from Wild Trail was very helpful in giving me the right pointers and helping me get started. We had two trails, and then we did a ride run last year as well, which unfortunately we couldn't do this year due to a clash with the Sardin Shufflers 32, which is a big one, and we had just no support at all. Hopefully we'll get back to the Rhino Run again. We've done a number of trails again this year, and the series is a four trail series, run every 3 months. We have a 12 and a 20 option at all of them, a little bit longer at the Matuni Trail, which is a very technical run up the Mac River. And they're about 2 km longer, each one of them.
It sounds amazing. I mean, it's you talk about the Mac River. I don't know the area well, but I know of the Mac Falls, and it's absolutely beautiful in that part of the world. So it sounds like you guys have got some cool trails to run on and some cool events that are taking place. But in your email, you mentioned to me that you're struggling a bit with regards to trail runners not really wanting to pay to run events. And that's probably one of the biggest problems that trail running is having. Whereas road running, the events tend to be really cheap, but they're not that really well organized. You don't get great value for money, to be dead honest. And then when the guys try and switch up from road running to trail running, there is an increase in entry fee, and a lot of it's got to do with having to pay to use certain venues or farms or areas and that sort of thing. And it's difficult to sort of for runners to realize that lots goes into it from a trail running perspective. They probably think it's a lot easier because there's no road closures and that sort of thing. What are some of the obstacles that you guys find you struggle with out there in Mpumalanga?
You know, I think it's not just out in Mpumalanga. I mean, people have to understand that all trail running, you don't just phone the municipality and say, hey, listen, we need a couple of cops to block off the following roads. In some cases, you have to go out there and find the trail, clear it, market, and it's generally not near home. So you've got traveling backwards and forwards to get this done. And then, of course, landowners, some landowners want money. I mean, we even have little towns here that want money for you to start off in. And mountain rescue and medical and all of that, the bills really mount up. And if you only have 60 runners, you've got to take those costs and divide it by 60. So it does tend to add up. But I think, you know, our 20K race is only 120 Rand. We've kept it at that for the 2 years, and I will be keeping it at that for next year. But you tend to have to subsidize your own races because we really do have a lack of sponsorship down here. The sponsors don't seem to deem us as a large enough market, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, Clive. I mean, it's got nothing to do with the way the races are organized out there in Mpumalanga. Is it just that there's just not enough people running them?
We've experienced quite a sort of resistance to going out of the trail. The people out here live in the bush, and it seems to be they want to go run with the buses and run with the diesel fumes. It's slowly growing, and I'm sure it's going to grow exponentially quicker in the future. Now that when you get groups of people starting to embrace the sport, they seem to spread the word, and then so the numbers start to increase, and hopefully that is happening now. But there's just a general resistance from the public to go run trails. So much so that on days that the local Run Walk for Life has the Botanical Gardens run, clubs have to organise runs that are on the road because some people don't run off road. It's quite amazing. It's something I didn't expect to encounter, but yeah, that's how it is down here. But it's growing, and it's definitely growing, and it's quite positive here at the moment.
That's fascinating. I find that very, very interesting, Clive. I mean, it's strange that people, especially in a country like South Africa, that's so conducive to being outdoors, and we've got an amazing country. I mean, if just the diversity from the Western Cape to the Northern Cape to where you guys are out in Mpumalanga, it's for me, it's mind-boggling that people don't want to be out there running trails. Yeah, I can understand that they're probably nervous. Maybe they think they're going to twist an ankle or do a knee. But, I mean, those risks are just as much on the road, dodging potholes and dodging cars. So, it's very, very interesting. Clive, tell me a little bit about your trail safaris as well. I was very interested to read up about those.
The trail safaris, what we do is I've sort of gone out onto the old national hiking trails, which the good old Minister Fani Buerta set up, and Fani Buerta being one of the trails that we do. And it's a 5-day hiking trail, and what we do is we run 2 days trail in one. We carry all the kit. My wife Jen moves all the kit from one hut to the next and has the refreshments all waiting and the food all prepared. And so it's a totally fully catered trail running experience. You get to run about 23 k's a day. The runs sometimes split into two groups, a faster group and a slower group. But you're following marked hiking trails. These are just like if one could, you could go down and do the otter because it's marked. Not that you're allowed to do that. But on the Fani Buerta, we get permission and off we go, and we have a vehicle supporting us and fully catered. It's really good fun, relatively cheap, and the nice way to come and see the trails.
That sounds awesome. How can people find out more about that, Clive?
Okay, it's all on our website on elangatrails.co.za. It's in the process of going up. It should be up within the next hour or two, as a matter of fact.
All right, fantastic. What I'll do, Clive, is I'll link to that website as well from the show notes for this episode of Trail Talk SA as well. I know you guys are very active on social media too, so I'll pop up your social media profiles there as well. So if people want to find out more about you or possibly get in touch about those trail safaris, with pleasure, I'll pop that on there as well. And it sounds like you guys are doing amazing work. And that was one of the goals with the show as well. It was just to grow the sport and get the awareness out there. So, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Keep up the great work, and please stay in touch. We'd love to hear if you've got other things in the pipeline in the months and years to come.
Yeah, Brad, if I can just remind everybody that the 16th of November, we've got a trail up at Kaapsehoop, and that's an absolutely beautiful trail. Get to run with the wild horses, see blue swallows. It's really, really the most popular of the Elanga Trail series.
And that's just outside Nelspruit. I mean,
just outside Nelspruit. It's actually, we start at 8 o'clock, so guys can even leave it at like 4:30 and drive from Joburg, because it's a 3-hour drive from Joburg. It's well before Nelspruit.
Okay, there you go. So it's pretty easy to get to from Gauteng. Entries for that race, what's the easiest way to go about? Your website?
Enter online, but you can link from the website, and there'll be entries on the day. And it's, as I say, it's 120 rand for the long one, 50 rand for the six.
See, that's nothing in trail running terms. That's dirt cheap.
Yes, they are very cheap. We try and keep them that way. Try and get the people in.
Clive Smart from Ilunga Trails, thank you so much for chatting to us today, and I look forward to catching up with you again in the future.
Brad, thank you very much.
Well, that's another week of Trail Talk SA done and dusted. Thank you to all of our guests today. And those links, as I promised, are on the show notes for this episode of Trail Talk SA. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure. Do be in touch on Twitter at Trail Talk SA. You can also pop me an email, podcast@trailtalksa.co.za. From myself, Brad Brown, have yourself a fantastic week, and we'll chat again same time next week. Cheers.